Now, one of the big false teachers of this, and I'm going to bring this up because of something else that comes later in Galatians 3, one of the biggest false teachers of this is Ray Comfort.
Yeah.
And look, people say sometimes, you know, why are you going after Ray Comfort? If he were a brother in Christ, I wouldn't be going after him. He is a lying, unsaved, false teacher because he teaches salvation by works.
Yeah.
Now, he's one of these that says, well, you don't have to do the deeds of the law, but you got to stop sinning. You have to turn from sin. Repent of sin. Okay, I can't do his little New Zealand. I can't do his New Zealand gimmick accent. But, you know, you got to repent. You have to turn from sin. So, when are you going to turn from your sins? So, when are you going to repent of your sins? That's what he does on soul winning.
You've got to repent of all your sin. So, what you've got to do, Justin, is repent of your sins. What you've got to do in response to that is repent. That is, turn from your sins, is repent. Don't just say, I'm sorry, but turn from those sins. You've got to repent. That means turn from all sins. Is repent. Just don't say, I'm sorry, God, but you turn from your sins.
Right.
You forsake your sins. You must repent. Not just ask Jesus into your heart, but turn from all sin. No more lying, stealing, blasphemy. No more lust. Turn from all sin and live in holiness. There are two things you have to do to be saved. You've got to repent and trust in Jesus alone. When are you going to do that?
Wait, what?
He finds the weirdest freaks that he can find and tells them, so, when are you going to turn from your sins?
I want you to know that your salvation's secure.
Because I've been through past regression, so I've been here before. I already know that.
What were you in your last life?
I was in the 1800s in South America, a Indian warrior.
But this guy, he deceives a lot of people. He just made this movie now about the homos. It's just the most watered down, just, oh, we love you so much. And let's just, I mean, look, how can anybody sit through that movie? Who wants to look at a bunch of fags for an hour or however long that movie is? The movie is filled with fags. Like, you just, it's just all, they're just talking to all these fags. Oh, we love you so much. I don't. Sorry, I don't love perverts. I don't love pedophiles,
Amen. Okay?
The Bible says they shall be stoned with stones. But anyway, aside from that, this guy is a lying false prophet. He's not just wrong on homosexuality, where he just wants to be their buddy and their friend and love on these people and, you know, sodomize our eyeballs for an hour of looking at these freaks, okay? Who wants to look at that garbage? You know, it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Who wants to sit and talk to him and look at him? But, oh, Audacity is the name of the movie. Love can't stay silent. Well, you know what? Hate can't stay silent either, buddy. I'm being pretty loud right now. But this guy is a lying false teacher who teaches that to be saved, you have to turn from your sins. It's not enough to believe in Christ. And he'll flat out say, oh, well, most people believe in Jesus. But, you know, have they repented of their sin, though? It's not enough to believe in Jesus, according to this guy.
Tell me.
You ask Jesus Christ to forgive you for all of your sins. Because
that's all I have to do?
Well, God has sent Jesus Christ here to forgive you for all of your sins. He has sacrificed himself.
So you living in holiness?
I'm not perfect, honey. I'm just forgiven.
So you're not living in holiness? Amy, I'm concerned for you. I'm concerned for your salvation.
I'm the furthest thing from perfect, honey. I'm just forgiven. I try to live as according to the Bible as I can.
So you're living in holiness?
I'm not perfect, honey. I'm just forgiven.
I'm not asking if you're living if you're perfect. I'm saying, are you living in holiness?
Well, holiness would be 100%.
Like, no, it says, without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. So what are you going to do if you're not holy? How can you be holy?
I can only ask for forgiveness from the Lord Jesus Christ, who was here to bear himself on the cross for all of our sin.
Tell me why Jesus died on the cross.
For our sins, and to let everybody who believes in him go to heaven.
Well, the devil believes in him. Hitler believed in him. A lot of people believe in Jesus, but they haven't repented and trusted in him. Marcus.
True. But I have, I do trust in him.
You think you could be a false convert?
A false convert?
Jesus spoke of that.
No, I definitely know in Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'm going to heaven. That's what it says.
But you got to repent and trust the Savior.
Sorry, that's what it says in the Bible, but so, yeah.
Faith's not enough. You got to repent of your sins. Well, here's one of his things that has crept in, though, even amongst Bible-believing Christians who believe that salvation is by faith alone. People who do not believe in this repent of your sins type salvation where it's all about turning over a new leaf like a 12-step program. Okay, even amongst people who have salvation, right, though, some of his methods have crept in. This method of like using the Ten Commandments to get people saved. Who's been exposed to this? Yeah, look, hands all over the building. Because of the fact that it's become so popular, the way of the master. And he claims that we're supposed to use the Ten Commandments to get people saved. That's what's going to get them saved. And when you look at these people's method of preaching the gospel, there's very little gospel. It's just, they'll literally spend like 10 minutes just telling the person how sinful they are, showing them the law, showing them the commandments. So it's all works of the law, it's all commandments, and then they literally will bring up the fact that Jesus died on the cross almost like an afterthought, like because they have to. Oh yeah, and by the way, Jesus died on the cross and buried and rose again. But you know, you got to turn from your sin, right? That we've been talking about for the last 10 minutes. So they don't emphasize Jesus or the gospel, they emphasize turning from sin. That's the emphasis.
There are two things you have to do to be saved. Do you remember what they are?
To have repent.
That's one.
And to...
Two things you have to do to be saved. Do you remember what they are?
Repent.
And?
And what was the other one again?
To do two things to be saved. Do you remember what they are?
You have to repent your sins, and I don't know what the other one is.
So there are two things you have to do to be saved from hell. Do you remember what they are? I just told you what they are.
Be good.
When are you going to do that?
Wait, what?
And so I've even been in a lot of independent fundamental Baptist churches, though, where we'll go out soul winning and people are going through the whole Ten Commandments with people. And here's their justification. And this is what Ray Comfort teaches. He teaches, well, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And they say, because the law is the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, this is how we bring people to Christ, through the law. The law is going to bring people to Christ. So they go out preaching the law, right? And then they just kind of a little sprinkle on top of a little bit about Jesus and the gospel. But it's like all law. And they claim like, you know, it's the law that's our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. That's a verse from this passage. And I'm going to show you how they're completely twisting the meaning of that. Okay. No, you know what brings people to Christ? The gospel. The Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And the gospel is defined as the fact that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures and that he was buried and that 3 days later he rose again according to the scriptures. That's the gospel.
Amen.
The good news that Jesus paid it all, that Jesus is our Savior, he died, he was buried, and rose again. But Jewish false teacher Ray Comfort teaches that the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. That means when we go soul winning, we preach the law instead of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ as our primary focus. And you can say whatever you want. Watch these people. They spend 90% of the time talking about how they're a sinner and need to turn from sin and about their sins. That's why he makes a whole movie about homos, because it's all about their sin and the sin and turn from the sin and the sin and the sin and the sin. Okay? When really it's supposed to be about Jesus, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, the hearing of faith, eternal life, you know, should be the emphasis. Look at what the Bible actually says. The Bible says this in verse number 22, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, everybody's a sinner, that the promise of faith of Jesus, the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. You know what this is talking about? This is talking about the Old Testament. They were under the schoolmaster. And that in the New Testament, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. This isn't saying, oh, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. That's how people get saved, by preaching law to them. That's not what the Bible... Why did Paul then say, well, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified? Why didn't he walk in preaching law, law, law? Hey, let's go through the whole Ten Commandments and show you what a filthy wretch you are. Is that what the Bible says? No. And this verse is being taken grossly out of context. And I can see how people would get this wrong if you take it out of context. If you just take the verse by itself, all by itself, where it says in verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. If you just read only that, I could see how you could think that. Except that that's taking the verse out of context. Because back up, he said that in verse number 21, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Okay, look, Christ had not been revealed in the Old Testament. Okay, they were under the law in the Old Testament. The Bible says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So we're talking Old Testament, under the law, under the schoolmaster, okay? New Testament, under grace, okay? No longer under the schoolmaster. Faith in Christ. See, what did the law serve? To show man his sinful condition. So people are taking this verse out of context and building a whole soul-winning program out of misunderstanding this verse. And then they'll take you back to Psalms where it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You know what that means? It means that the law of the Lord changes your mind about stuff. Just to put it in modern vernacular. Because God's law is perfect, so it'll change the way you think about things. Look, when it comes to all the hundreds and hundreds of verses we could show you that salvation is coming through the power of the gospel, and that it's the gospel of Jesus that we need to preach, and Christ crucified, the cross of Christ is what we preach, and that's our message. And then that's all just Nope, that's not the emphasis. The law is our schoolmaster. No, the law was the schoolmaster in the Old Testament, okay? So to sit there and take this verse out of context and say, well, we're no longer under the schoolmaster means that once we get saved, we're no longer under... No, that's not what it's saying. We're talking Old Covenant versus New Covenant. And again, this guy has perverted the soul winning, even of churches that preach the right gospel, that it's by faith, because they get stuck on this dumb method of going through all 10 commandments with people at the door. And I've been with people who do it. This is what they do. They walk up to the door and they, so you think you're a pretty good person, huh? So you think you're pretty good, huh? Okay, well, you know, let's go through some of the 10 commandments with you, see how good you are. You know, have you ever stolen anything? Oh, well, yeah, you know. Or, well, no, I've never stolen anything. Well, but have you ever gone to work and you weren't really working hard and you were on the clock? Well, you stole. And then they'll say, well, you know, have you ever committed adultery? No. Well, have you ever looked on a woman to lust after her? Well, then you've committed adultery. Okay, have you ever killed? No. Well, have you ever hated anyone in your heart? Because the Bible says, you know, that if you hate your brother without a cause, you know, and you're a murderer if you hate your brother. And you know, have you ever desired something that didn't belong to you? Yeah, I've done that. Have you ever, you know, taken God's name in vain? Have you? And they go through every single one of them. But here's the thing. A lot of times they don't even get to first base with people because they don't even get to the gospel by the time the person is just like, all right, leave me alone. You know, because they just want to badger people is what they're doing at that point. They're just badgering them. I've literally stood at the door where a guy is talking to a guy at the door, and behind the guy was his wife. And he's like, come on, have you ever looked at a woman with lust? And the guy's wife is like, you know, I want to hear the answer to this. And he's like, oh, well. And the guy that's talking, he's like, come on, you know you have. Come on. He's like, oh, man, you know. Look, it's dumb.
Yeah.
Because you're beating a dead horse. Because 99% of people out there already know that they're a sinner.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, right? How often, and look, those of you who go soul winning a lot, you know this is true. How often do you go out soul winning and have somebody tell you, oh, I don't sin. I'm not a sinner. It's like 1 in 500. It's probably 1 in 1,000. It like never happens hardly at all. So here's how long I spend on the point about you're a sinner. Yeah, it's just about 30 seconds. Because everybody's just like, well, yeah. I mean, it's just for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned, right? And 99% of people are like, oh, yeah, of course. I say, you know, we probably sin every day because the thought of foolishness is sin. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right? Then I go into some scriptures showing them that we deserve hell. Now, here's the difference, though. When I show them we deserve hell, I show them the verse that says all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, because we've all lied. And everyone that you talk to will admit that they've lied. Again, except that 1 in 500 anomaly. 99.9% will tell you, oh, yeah, I've lied before. That's enough. We're condemned. You know, we're not saved. We're going to hell because we've lied. We need Jesus, okay? This is why the Ten Commandments method is such a bad method. Because by trying to paint the person as a horrible person who has broken all of the commandments, because that's what they're trying to show, you've broken every single one of them. And they try to get the person to see what a wicked, wretched, vile, disgusting, sinful person they are. Here's the problem with that. The problem with that is you're leading that person to believe that that's why a person would go to hell, because they're just that bad. And then you're trying to convince the person that they're that bad to where, yes, you do deserve hell because you are that. Even though you think you're good, you're that bad. Here's the problem with that. Most people are going to walk away from that conversation thinking, I don't care what that guy says, I'm not that bad. You know what I mean? They're going to walk away thinking, okay, I'm not as bad as that guy was making me out to be. Whereas if you show people that one sin will send you to hell, lie will send you to hell, then they walk away thinking, oh, wow, I am condemned. But trying to get somebody to see just how disgusting they are is a good way to end the conversation real fast when you just start telling somebody how filthy they are, number one. And number two, it's giving them a false doctrine, like that you have to be this major sinner who's broken everything in order to go to hell. Well, in reality, it's quite the opposite. You just have to be a sinner whatsoever. That's what we ought to be preaching. Okay, but that whole part of the gospel is a minimal part, because, look, here's the way I do it when I'm out soul winning. I spend as much time as necessary on each point. I do a thorough job on each point, but you know what? When they get that point, I move on to the next one. Why beat a dead horse? I mean, look, if someone's not getting it that we deserve hell, then I'll park it there and spend 4 or 5 minutes going through a whole bunch more scriptures and just showing them scripture after scripture. But here's the thing. If I show them we're all sinners, oh, yeah, of course. Check. Next point. No need to go down 9 more commandments. Okay? Then we get to, second base, and it's like, okay, we deserve hell for our sins. Once they get it and acknowledge it, it's time to go to third, friend. What are you doing just hanging out? And then people are like, I got to go, because they're going to get bored with you beating them over the head with the same repetitive thing for 10 minutes. Just, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. It's like, okay, bye. You get to the point. Jesus, that's what you spend time talking about. You spend time talking about the fact that it's by faith, that it's not of works, that it's everlasting life. You talk about the cross. You talk about Jesus dying and being buried and rising again. What's the power of God? Look, is the power coming from our flesh to save people, or is it coming from the Spirit of God? Where's the power? The Bible says that God's word has power. Bible verses. And the Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So what do we emphasize? The gospel. Yep. Jesus. What's gospel mean? The good news. Now look, the bad news is you're a sinner. The bad news is you're going to hell. What's the good news? Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose again. Salvation's all by faith. It's eternal life. You can't lose your salvation. So what are we supposed to emphasize? The good news or the bad news when it comes to soul winning? The good news. That's what the Bible says. So don't get sucked into this guy, this gimmick, who goes around with his little soapbox to the most filthiest weirdo places of Santa Monica, California, you know, gets up on his soapbox and finds the most filthy, vile, homosexual reprobate and just argues with atheists and argues with these people. And how often do you actually see him get somebody saved? How often do you see him get somebody saved? The videos always end with like, oh, you gave me something to think about. What? In the Bible, they keep getting people saved. Like, people keep getting saved. They're receiving Christ. Like, there are some people who are like, we're going to hear about this later, but then some people get saved on the spot. You don't see that with this guy. Why spend time attacking him? Why talk about it? Because of the fact that people are duped by this stuff all the time, and even independent Baptists are watching his movies. Even independent Baptists are getting all softened up and a tear in the eye about some homo. Like, we're supposed to feel bad for some pedophile. We love you so much. Let's bake you a cake that says how much we love you. No, the Bible says we're supposed to hate sin, and we're supposed to hate those who hate the Lord. Amen. And look, I love about 90-some percent of people in this country, and I hate those who hate the Lord. Amen. You know, that's what the Bible teaches. But, you know, almost everything I'm saying in this sermon tonight, virtually wall-to-wall in this sermon is rejected by Christians now. You know what I mean? Like, the Christians now, it's just, it's all about, it's pro-Israel. Homos are our friends. Have them over for a barbecue. You know, the only barbecue I want to see a homo at is Sodom and Gomorrah, part two. Okay? But, you know, this is, and people are like, how can you say that? Look, hey, wake up and read the Bible, friend. You know, I'm up here saying stuff, and people think I'm crazy and stuff, but people think I'm crazy about the Jew thing, too, but yet it's all right here in the Bible. And people think I'm crazy about the homos, but it's all right there in the Bible. It's all in the New Testament. It's all in 2 Peter 2, Jude, Romans 1. It's all right there. And you know what? It's not my fault if you don't read the Bible. And if you want to walk out of here all mad because you don't read your Bible, that's not my fault. I'm right about this stuff. And come up to me after the service, and I'll provide scriptural proof for everything that I've said tonight. Every single thing. Oh, but it's love, love, love. What about the verse on hate? There's a lot of them. Get a concordance and just look up hate. You know, that's a start. But the thing about it is that there's a false gospel out there that's a works of the law gospel. Okay, and what's the works of the law gospel? Telling you that if you stop sinning or turn from sin or attempt to turn from sin, that's going to get you into heaven. Or they'll say, well, you begin with the Spirit and you're made perfect by the flesh. That's a lie too. No, it starts and ends with the Spirit. It starts and ends with faith. It's faith. It's from faith to faith. That's what salvation is. It has nothing to do with works. And listen, when you're getting up and telling people you have to repent of your sins to be saved, that's works. That's the works of the law. And that's why it says in Jonah 3:10, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. And of course, the Ray Comforts of this world will show you verses on repentance, but whenever it's about salvation, it doesn't say repent of sin. They just add that. When it says repent, they're like, see, repent of sin. But God repents more than anyone in the Bible. So you can't just assume it's repenting of sin, because God doesn't repent of sin. God doesn't have any sin. You can repent of anything. And what the unsaved person needs to repent of is wrong salvation, wrong belief, wrong doctrine, you know. They need to repent of a false religion. They don't need to repent of their sins, because if you had to repent of your sins to be saved, then that would be salvation by the works of the law. That would be the law saving us. And then, yeah, I guess we would have to go through the whole Ten Commandments with you, because you got to figure out all the stuff you have to turn from. Right. Oh, you got to turn from all this stuff. Don't get sucked into these trendy, cute soul-winning methods. Okay? It's based on taking Scripture out of context, and it's teaching a false gospel.